every night. Now I never dream at all. I'm hoping that it's cause I'm living everything I want. I used to wake up in a bed between my mom and aunt, playing with this Land Before Time toy from Pizza Hut. My dad works nights, putting on a stone face. He's saving up so we can get our own place. In the projects, man, that sound fancy to me. They call me Fat Nose, my mom said, you handsome to me. Mrs. Glover, ma'am, your son is so advanced, but he's acting up in class and keeps being in his pants. And I just wanna fit in, but nobody was helping me out. They talking hood shit and I ain't know what that was about. Cause hood shit and black shit is super different. So I'm talking hood shit and cooling out like New Edition. Mom and dad wouldn't listen, they left the Bronx so I wouldn't be that. All their friends in NY deal crack. It's weird, you think that they'd be proud of them, but when you leave the hood, they think that you look down on them. The truth is, we still struggle on a different plane. $7 an hour, WIC vouchers, it's all the same. Facebook messaging, hoping that can patch up shit. But all they get now is, can your son read this script?
Welcome to the Cold World Podcast. Hope everybody had a good week and a good weekend. I had a really good one. I got to go and give the keynote at a youth symposium. It was pretty dope. I really enjoy speaking with young folks. These young folks was between 6th grade and 12th grade. And so instead of going all into detail about my week and opining about the news of the week and all that other stuff, that rambling, like I'm rambling right now, I'm just gonna play the speech. So hopefully you enjoy it. Peace.
But I wanted to start just by giving you a little bit more of who I am and talk about that. So I grew up in Oakland, but I was actually born in Chicago. And so growing up in Chicago was a really interesting experience for me, especially because I had really young parents, and my parents were struggling. I was born in the 80s, and in the 80s, crack was a really big thing. And so my parents were on drugs really bad. And what that did was that caused me to move a lot, right? So I moved from back and forth between Chicago and this really small town called Paducah, Kentucky. And I lived with my grandmother there. And I lived off and on with my grandmother while my parents were in their addiction until my grandmother passed away. And when my grandmother passed away, my father had family here in California, so we got on the Greyhound, and we went from Paducah, Kentucky to the Bay Area, which is a 3.5-day trip on a bus. So that's how I got here. And the reason why I talk about that and what's really important about that is I think that that's something that when people hear, they like, oh man, like that's a really sad story. But it's not, it really isn't. And I think the lessons that I wanted to like really focus on today is gonna talk about why that's not that sad of a story. It actually was a blessing for me. But the other reason why I wanted to go in depth there is because when you see somebody for the first time, you make a lot of assumptions. So before I even said anything, there was probably a bunch of assumptions made, right? There was probably they said, oh, he travels nationally. Maybe he's like rich, or he was born this way, or he had a lot of money growing up. And the reason why I say that is because I remember being young, and when they would put people in front of me to talk to me, and they kind of talked at me, right? Like, I would just make these assumptions. So I wanted to be, when I was younger, I did want to be a sports agent. I used to watch this show called Arliss, and I saw this movie Jerry Maguire, and I really wanted to do that. And then I met this young black dude that was really successful. And for whatever reason, he was talking, he was speaking to young people, and I was listening, but I was looking at him, and I was like, I can't do that. I didn't have the things that he had. I didn't grow up the way he grew up, and I just made all these assumptions. I didn't even know, dude. I never asked those questions, and he didn't really care too much to to go that deep into who he was. So I try to make sure that I give that backstory because I think it's really important. I think it's really important that when you see folks that you don't automatically draw lines that separate you from greatness. And I think that when you are a black man and you are growing up in the way in which society is right now, that is something that consistently happens, is that you are separated from greatness. It is always, so when somebody finally does make it out of the hood, so to speak, that's like that super Negro that made it out of the hood to do these things. Or there is a separation between us. And so, you know, I talk a lot about these stories, and the one that I really want to just go into before I jump into these just quick lessons is, I just remember when I graduated from high school, and I remember how happy my mother was. My mom's was like really happy, and she was like crying, and like, because I made it. Most of the men in my family have been to prison, have like just histories of violence. And if I'm being really honest with you, like one of my little cousins that I, you know, that I grew up with, that I care a lot about, that's like a little brother to me, just got sentenced to jail yesterday. Like this is the reality for us, right? So I remember being at graduation and my mother just being really happy, and I was proud because I was going to college. I got into these schools and I was really proud of that. And then I got really upset about it. And I didn't know why I got upset. And the reason why is because my mom was so happy that I graduated from high school, because so many people in my family just didn't do that. But that was the expectation. The expectation was something was gonna happen. She was like, I'm so glad that you didn't go to jail, or that you didn't have a baby, or that you didn't do this, or you didn't do that. Thank you. And that was the expectation. And it's not my mother's fault that was the expectation, but if that's the thing that we were clasping for, right, like, what else is there to do after that? Like, I've already, the happy ending is there. There's no place for me to go at that point. And I think about that. Does anybody know who, I'll use somebody that you, everybody knows George Bush, right? So, when George Bush is a child, and his father is the president, George Bush can grow up, Jeb Bush can grow up, and they can run a Fortune 500 company. They can be the owner of the Texas Rangers like George Bush was. But in that family, they are considered failures until they become leaders of the free world. But here I am, and we crying because I graduated from high school. We're crying because I'm not on the corner. We crying and we're happy and celebrating because I wasn't murdered before I could graduate. There's a real disparity in what's expected of you and what's expected of other people. And the reason why I'm really talking about these things is because these things affect you, and you may not even understand it. You may not even know it. I was an angry child that turned into an angry man, and that anger is still there. That passion is still there. And I didn't know why that was for so long. But I remember being at Cal State Hayward, and I remember going on a date. And I remember being pulled over. And I remember in front of my date being harassed by these police officers. One was black and one was white. And I remember them saying to me, did you steal this car? I remember them talking down to me. And then I remember a few months later when I was visiting a friend and I rolled up, and then I got pulled up, these cops pulled up behind me and told me that a 7-Eleven had gotten robbed and I fit a description, and they put me in handcuffs while they went through my trunk, and they sat me on the curb, and people came outside and saw that. Those things, and I couldn't understand it because I had done the things that I was told that I was supposed to do. Those little aggressions, those things that you all deal with, and this is how you deal with it. How many of y'all get on BART? Okay. How many of y'all ever gotten on BART and maybe sat down and then somebody moved? How many of you been walking with your friends and then as you're walking down the street, people get out the way? Like those things, you may not understand the impact that it has on you at that moment, but it affects you. It affects how you interact with people and how you interact with things. It affects how you go about your daily life. So the reason why that story isn't sad that I told you and that I'm about to go deeper into is because these things prepared me better than I think a lot of my peers were prepared. So The first thing, moving here, I had a super accent when I moved to California. You could not understand me. I was extremely country. I had to go to like this speech therapy stuff while I was in school. I still do this to this day. I say everything in my head first, and then I say it out loud. And I have to like make an effort to enunciate, just because I grew up in the country, and I had a lazy language. But moving so much, I went to 11 elementary schools. But what that taught me is that this is why that was a blessing, though. One, I learned how to adapt really, really quickly. Two, I learned that while friendships and relationships are important, the one thing that's going to always be with me is me. So I didn't have this knack to like really need to impress friends early on. And I think that that helped me out a whole lot when I was younger. I played basketball, and basketball kept me out of trouble, but I was also okay kind of doing my own thing. That's important because a lot of my friends, after we played basketball, went to go do other stuff. They went to go smoke. They went to go do things like maybe they went to the mall and they stole something. And getting in trouble that one time turns into a snowball effect. The other reason why it was a blessing is because I got to live with one of the greatest women of all time for 3 or 4 years out of my life, my grandmother. Greatest woman I've ever met, the greatest woman I've ever known. That woman made miracles happen. She's the person that introduced me to God. She introduced me to like a higher like purpose in life. And she also showed me that regardless of what you have, you can be happy. And regardless of what you have a duty to take care of the people around you. My grandmother raised me on like public assistance. She put me in all the little programs that they had in the project. So it was these things called food trucks that would come. I went out and took advantage of all that stuff. When Parks and Rec would come, she made sure I was up at 8 o'clock to go out there, and they would kind of keep you until 5. But she also made sure everybody around her ate. Even though we didn't have a lot, even though there was roaches running around my house, everybody ate. So if the little boy next door didn't have food, she felt that it was her duty to feed him, and I never questioned that. So that's another thing. The other reason why I was just really, really lucky is I got to watch my parents go through addiction and then get clean. That was really impactful for me. It was being 10 years old sitting in a room like this. So I don't know how many people are familiar with AA or NA, but they happen all over town, in any town you go to, and it happens in rooms like this, maybe once a week, twice a week, depending on where you are. And, you know, they'll have coffee and donuts, and then folks will stand up and tell their story. And I got to see a lot of different people tell their stories. I got to connect with people that I had never seen before. I got to connect with people that used to be doctors and lawyers and really talk about the struggle of the human condition. And I think for a 10-year-old to start to understand and be around folks that's really talking about the human condition, it really had an impact on me. What it let me know is that, one, we're all connected in more ways than one. And two, most people in this room ain't but a paycheck or two away. And three, it helped me really understand like where a lot of that anger came from as my parents started to get clean. Because to me, what it looked like is, you have a family, and then you have this issue, this drug, this behavior, right? But you consistently are choosing this over this. And what I learned is that the world can be a really, really tough place. And I learned that I'm not always in a position to judge folks on what they do and how they do it. But it allowed me to see people for people. It allows me to see somebody that may have been young like I was, whose pants may not be all the way up on their butt, but to actually see that person and know that person has real problems and real issues, to also see somebody like an Oprah Winfrey, who has access to whatever she wants, has a whole bunch of money. But what I really remember about Oprah is that she was really insecure about struggling with her weight. That's something that didn't make sense to me, but what it did is when I understood like the human condition, it let me know that we are all more connected regardless of how much money we make. People are people, whether they're black, white, rich, or poor. And so all those things that I saw and that I dealt with and going to all those schools and not living in one place for too long, it also taught me that the United States is a really different place. How many people have lived in California their entire life? Cool. So I lived in a place called Kentucky. Can I ask you a question? If you saw, and I'm going to be really honest with you, I just want to know, so this is always really funny when I ask California kids this question. So I'm curious if this is going to stay, if I'm right. What would you do if you was walking by yourself and it was like a group of like white boys, like from high school, like high school age, and they like called you a nigga? What would you do? Would you say something back? What do you, yes, sir. Be confused? Okay, that's a different answer. All right. Yes, sir. Okay. You probably say something back. I appreciate your honesty, brother, because I would. That's what usually what people say. That's, I appreciate those first two answers, but the other answer, like we be squabbing, son. Put hands on them. But I live in Kentucky. Kentucky is a very different place. First off, I didn't see any other races when I lived in Kentucky. I saw black and white. If you was like Mexican, you was either like halfway black or you was halfway white. We just did, that's all we knew. But living in Kentucky, what I learned is when those types of things happen on the back roads, it's a different environment. It's really different. And the rules are different. And so in those types of situations, you just want to get home. Now, if you with a bunch of people, maybe, but there could be some real repercussions. But the Bay Area is a different place. The Bay Area is a liberal bubble. It's a hub. It's one of the most accepting places in the United States, and it comes with its own problems. But I learned that places like Chicago and Kentucky and California are just really, really different. And living in those three places throughout my life has made me like really accept that people don't do things the way that you do them. People don't always accept what you accept. And I think that that's something really important. And the reason why that was important for me is because college was a culture shock for me. It was really, really different from growing up on 54th and Gaskill in North Oakland. Just that experience and just seeing other people and all that stuff. And that was something that really helped me out. So I know this is just like really parsed. And what I really try to do is I don't write speeches when I talk to young folks. I just want to have a conversation with the things that I think is going to connect with you. And I try to be really honest with you. But there are a few things, lessons that if you don't take anything away, that I want you to take away. All right? So the first one that I put down is that in life, yo, you are going to lose far more than you're going to win. You're going to lose a lot. You're going to feel like you're losing a lot. There are going to be a bunch of moments where you feel inadequate. And I really start with that now because things are so different. I mean, I went to a basketball game. Like, one of my friend's kids was playing, and they wasn't keeping score. And it was like, what's wrong with the scoreboard? The scoreboard broke? And they was like, no, we just don't want none of the kids to feel bad about themselves. The kids are keeping score. They know what the score is. Like, or, you know, or schools have, there are schools, I work in a bunch of schools, there are schools that have banned games like freeze tag because they don't want a kid to feel left out. And you can feel however you want to feel about that. I don't agree with those things. I'm just one person, and that's my opinion. But I think that losing builds character. That's how you get better. That is what's going to prepare you. I'm telling you. If I didn't have those losses that I talked about throughout, the first time I had a problem in college, the first time I would have did like a bunch of my friends did and left. I would have went back home running to somebody because it was like, yo, this is not, whoa, that was tough. That was hard. Why did they fail me? Like, those things happen. So just really understand that you're going to lose far more in life than you're going to win. Like, with somebody like a Michael Jordan or maybe Kobe Bryant for your generation, if you look at their careers, it is marred with failure after failure after failure. It is marred with a bunch of missed shots. It is marred with a bunch of disappointment. Michael Jordan always talks about getting cut and what that did to him. Like, but that's not what you remember. What you remember is him beating on everybody. What you remember is the 6 championships. What you remember is him being a champion. And that's just something really important. How many people got iPhones or iPads or whatnot? Okay. The person that helped build that and created that, that dude got fired from his own company. He started a company, had a bunch of ideas, it got big, and then they fired him from his own company. The losses don't get much bigger than that. That's like you built a house, it's your house, and then I came into your house and I kicked you out. That you okay with that? That's okay? Are you fine with that? You'd be a little, you know, disappointed, right? So embrace the losing. You're not losers. You're not losing, you're learning. Understand that. If it's not hard, you're not growing. If you're not losing, you're not taking enough chances. You are setting yourself up to be mediocre, and the world don't need no more mediocre people. The second thing that I wish somebody would have told me when I was your age is collect mentors. People that you like, people that like are places that you want to be, things that you say that you aspire to be. Like if you want to do movies, brother, if you want to do video and stuff like that, find somebody that does that and be around them. I don't care if you're just getting coffee. I don't care what you're doing. Be in that area. Ask people. Be aggressive about it. You will learn. One of the things that I learned throughout life, and I learned a lot while I was in school, but the biggest thing I learned, what is not always what you know, is who you know, and it's the people that can set you up. People put you in situations that you can learn, where you can grow and you can fail. We talk about somebody like a George Bush again. I promise you, I swear to you, I promise you, I don't know all of you, but I can promise you that George Bush is not smarter than you. I can promise you that. I can promise you that. But what I can say, though, is he got a whole bunch more access than you do. He was put around a lot of people that took care of him, that gave him cover. So you have to do that. If you're the smartest person in your group of friends, you need to add some friends. All right? If you're the richest person in your group of friends, you need to add some friends. We manifest what we're around. So that's something that's really important. And that goes the other way too. So that means if you're putting a lot of energy with people that's not doing what they need to be doing, and I don't know, maybe you got a strong aura, but you're going to fall off into that at some point. So the people you surround yourself with is really important. And here's the good thing about mentors. You don't even got to ask people to be mentors these days. Like, it's a lot of people that I admire. I would just go on the internet and just follow everything they do. They mentoring me and they don't even know it. When I see them, if I ever meet them in person, I'm talking to them like we've been friends for 5 years because I know all their business. So the third thing is to always give back. None of this means nothing. It don't matter for nothing. The checks you get, none of that stuff. All that stuff is fleeting if you can't pass that stuff down to somebody else. If you can't help somebody else with it, then what good are you? If you're not feeding into the world, what good are you? The thing that I try to live by is I want to leave more in the world than I've taken from it. And I've taken a lot from it. I've benefited from a lot of different things. So even though I've gone to a bunch of places, I've gotten to speak in places like back home in Chicago. I've gotten to speak on the East Coast. I was paid a lot of money to go and talk for 15 minutes in Miami. And that was cool because I charge white people when I talk to them. But stuff like this, I make time for folks that look like me. I make time for folks that's growing up in the same way in which I grew up. I'm not charging for that. I gladly do it. And the reason why is because I didn't see as many people that look like me doing dope stuff. And what I did see of the people that look like me was doing dope. That's what I saw. What I saw was people grinding. What I saw was people playing ball. And guess what I did? I played ball. That's the choice that I decided to take. And I love basketball. Basketball was great to me. Great to me. I love basketball. But if I had saw that black Jerry Maguire, if I had saw that black lawyer, if I had saw not even that black business owner that's just doing what he or she loved to do. So if you saw that black filmmaker, Akilah probably would end up being that at some point. But if you saw that earlier and that person looked like you and they talked like you and they dressed like you and they looked and they felt like you, it felt familiar, then damn it, the possibilities for you open up. Now you're thinking about other things you can do. And when I ask you what you want to be, you don't just give me the canned answer of, oh, I want to be a doctor or a lawyer. Ain't that many people in the world really want to be doctors and lawyers. Those are great people. But when people say that to me, for the most part, it's just because, all right, you ain't seen enough stuff. All right? You can do more than play ball. You can do more than sell drugs. And you can do more than be a rapper. There are ways to be involved with music. Now, if you want to be a rapper, that's dope. I ain't mad at you. Everybody can't rap. And if you 40, it's time to give it up. I'm just saying. I got those friends, too. It's like, hey, you want to listen to my mixtape? No. You about to be a grandpa. I don't want to do it. But you know what you can do? You know what you don't get too old for? You can be a sound engineer. You can be the person that they got to pay every time they want to rap. You can be the person that see 100 kids walk through and say they want to be rappers. And they got to pay you every time they want to be in your studio. You got to think past the things that folks told you to only think about. The other piece, you got to appreciate your blessings. You got to appreciate them. I'm looking out in the crowd. I'm seeing a bunch of nice shoes. I'm seeing Jordans. I'm seeing clothes that fit. I'm seeing people that got parents with them. I'm seeing people that like are in an organization that cared enough to like put this together for them and bring them here. You gotta appreciate the blessings. It's so easy to look at what we don't have and be real hot about it and be real tight about, oh man, I don't have this and I don't have that. Instead of having conversations about what you do have. So when I was 10 and Christmas time came, I stood in a line at a shelter to get toys that other kids didn't want no more. Because I lived in a shelter. And I appreciated the toy drive. You know what? When I got that toy though, because I didn't know nothing else, I loved that toy. That other person's trash was definitely my treasure. Loved it. But there's gradations to stuff, right? But even that, right? Like, I was homeless, but I never had to sleep on the street. So then I become an adult, and then I see things around, like, what happened in Rwanda, where there are little kids being slaughtered, massacred. This group of people don't like this group of people, and we're going to take over this poor black country because people don't care about poor black countries. So I can be sad that I had to eat out of a soup kitchen and that I had to share a room with my entire family and lived in a shelter, but that blessing of being able to do that was way better. Nobody ever came into my house and slaughtered my parents in front of me and then made me become a soldier in their war. Perspective is a really important thing. As a teenager, it is written in your DNA to be selfish. It just is. At 16, I knew everything, and I was hella selfish. I was really, really selfish. It's just a part of growing up. But at some point, when you can really appreciate the things that you have and what God has blessed you with, you just start to see things differently. You appreciate things differently. You take care of things differently. So nothing is worse to me. The hardest thing is just... kids that spoil, man, is really tough. I be wanting to trip them in the supermarket. I just be wanting to humble kids. I don't know. It's just, I'm sorry. That's rude. I shouldn't have said that. They just be bad. I don't know. I got a real issue with that. I'm sorry. Appreciate your blessings. Let me move on to the next point. Yeah. But they do. You know some selfish kids, right? All right. I'm just saying. All right. The last thing is never stop learning. Never stop learning. You live in an information age. So I think this is one of the most important things. So who are some of your favorite people? Like for me, when I was growing up, Malcolm X, I remember reading the Malcolm X book the first time when I was like 14 and not really getting everything, but just like, man, this just feels some kind of way. Right, and then I read it again as I got older, and I continued to read it, and it's like, that dude is like one of the smartest people I've ever like had the pleasure of reading, or reading King, or reading like a Marcus Garvey type person, or Du Bois. Like, reading from these people and listening to these words, right, like, these are some of the smartest people I've ever heard in my life, right? Check this out. you got more information in your hand on your phone than they've ever had access to in their entire life. You can use your phone to go on Instagram and like pictures of Snapchat. You can do that. You can also go in and read about Pythagorean theorem and who invented that. You can also go and find out that like people that look like you and created math and was the first doctors. You can do that stuff right now. You know what, when I was younger, and people older than me will have even worse stories, like I had to know how to use the library. Like there's these cards that you have to go, and yeah, it's crazy. Let me explain it to you. It would be these wooden drawers with these little cards, right? And so you'd have to like know the book that you wanted, right? And you have to know who wrote it. And then, wait, damn, you don't know that. So then you had to go borrow an Encyclopedia Britannica, because you had to be rich to have one of those, and I ain't had one of those. So I would find out all the stuff I wanted. Cool, I wrote my list down. Then I go to this little thing called a card catalog, and you go, and it's like this number. It's called the Dewey Decimal System, which ain't none of y'all never heard of. And like, you would look through this little card thing, and then you write down the number. If you was a thug, you'd take the card. But you write down the number. And then, like, then you have to go in these things called book stacks. It's crazy, right? It's crazy. And then you go and you look, and somebody done moved a book. And so you searching for a book. That was a day-long process. You know what you can do now? Oh, you can just ask the damn question in your phone, and it come right back. None of y'all have a reason or an excuse to be stupid. Nobody does. You don't ever listen. If I have kids and they ever ask me a question, I don't care what the question is. I'm just gonna look at them. It's like, 'cause you got the answer faster than I do. So never stop learning. So let me connect that, right? Let's say you do want to like be somebody that makes films. You can go online right now. There's this thing called lynda.com that teaches you how to do everything you want to do with a camera. It's a website called lynda.com, L-Y-N-D-A. But you don't even need that. Like, you can just go onto YouTube and figure out how to do most of the stuff it is that you want to do. Y'all, this your generation has the opportunity to build the most incredible things quickly. Fast, you can broadcast out to people. You don't even need to like become like a celebrity like old school people did. You can have success by posting something that's just amazing on YouTube. There's just no reason and no excuse for you not to be able to learn more about what you want to learn about. You got access to that. Your success is more in your hands than it's ever been in any other generation. So, the one thing, man, that I just really want to make sure I drive home to people is like, and this is just really important because people say this to me and I should be flattered by it and it shouldn't make me uncomfortable, but it does. And I try to share this with folks everywhere I go. And they'll be like, oh man, Charles is like a real smart dude. Like I have a BA in political science and I have an MPA. A master's degree in public administration. I've gone to a lot of school. I enjoyed it, right? It's cool. I owe a lot of money. A lot of money. I'm really broke. It's a lot of money that I have to pay back every single month, right? But people will say stuff to me like, man, I read your piece. Like, you are, like, really smart. And, like, that's really dope. Like, you just seem really smart. And I'm not. And that's not a put down. I'm a confident person. Like, I can write some stuff, but I have to learn how to do that stuff. I'm not no smarter or no better, or I didn't have any other advances or advantages than anybody that I'm looking at right now. I did not have anything that you don't have access to right now. I'm not smarter than you. I didn't grow up with some super intelligent, like, I didn't grow up being able to speak. I couldn't talk when I came here. You wouldn't have understood anything that I said. I say all that to say is that somebody's always going to be smarter. Somebody's always going to be richer. They're always going to be faster. They're always going to be more attractive. They're always going to be bigger or stronger or whatever. But there's never an excuse to be outworked. You decide that. That's on you. You can decide if you want to go out and meet people that's doing the things that you want to do. You decide the type of questions that you ask in a classroom. And here's another thing. Don't depend on that classroom to give you all the things that you need to know. You passed that. We have passed that. We've been teaching in schools the same way for the last 200 some odd years, when we set up chairs and tables and a person like me stands up in front of you and talks at you and gives you a lesson. Everything else in the world has moved forward except for how we teach people. I work with teachers all over the country, and we're trying to figure out new ways to teach folks. But every single thing around you, cars, like people are not just getting in cold trains no more and having to chug around through town. They don't have to get on horses and take horse carriage and all that stuff. You getting them like pneumonia doesn't mean you're gonna die today. Everything around you has been advanced except for how we learn. So this is what I'll say to you. Your success, your knowledge is your responsibility. Now that doesn't absolve teachers, that doesn't absolve your parents, that doesn't absolve people at all, but you gotta be responsible for you. I'm talking to young black men, yo. And I'm telling you this, and I'm about to get real with you. I don't care, you can be, listen, I can see a 15-year-old lovable child in front of me because I was one of those kids that maybe projected a certain type of way or looked like he was gonna do something. I wasn't gonna do nothing to nobody. But out there, you're not a 15-year-old cute little boy. You are a dangerous, grown black man. We are all watching the news right now. We are all seeing what's happening. We don't need to play these games and like I need to give you some type of like little story that you can absorb. It's not fair and it's not right, but you gotta grow up quicker than other people do. The consequences for you are different. I got friends that I grew up with that can get in a bunch of trouble, right? That can like live in a little town, get caught stealing and stuff. And the police chief, you know, he knows his dad. And instead of like taking him to jail, he gives him a job. And he works with him and he mentors him. And then that person is now a senator somewhere. I know people that have that type of story. You, on the other hand, can't roll up in certain areas with your music playing loud. Because you may not make it out that situation to learn the lesson. I'm telling you this, and I'm not saying this like in some kind of sad like way. Listen, man, everybody in the world wants to be you. Everybody want to dress like you. They want to talk like you. They want to sound like you. They want to pump stuff into their lips to look like you. You know how much I got made fun of for these lips? Now you paying $15,000 to get big lips? Word? Can I sell mine? Do you understand that everybody in the world wants to be you? There's something about you. You come from a great people, yo. You have to know where you come from. And I'm telling you, man, and for the longest, I thought I came from two crackheads. Then I learned to see the beauty in my parents, but I also got to learn more about where I came from. I got to read like some amazing words by somebody named Langston Hughes. Or I got to read the story of a little girl who had two sets of teeth that was called ugly and that was raped as a child, who grew up to be one of the greatest speakers of all time named Maya Angelou. Or I got to hear about the dude that grew up in Detroit that was just in the streets doing stupid stuff just for no reason, that would intentionally burn his hair so he could fit in, that grew up to be one of the greatest leaders of all time named Malcolm X. These are people that are flesh of your flesh, yo, blood of your blood. You can believe that you are thugs if you want to. You can believe what the TV tells you. You can let people tell you that you're aggressive and that you don't have a reason to be angry, or that you're weird for being angry, or that you have something wrong with you, but you don't. You don't. There's nothing wrong with any of you. And you all can be what it is that you want to be, but you're going to have to work. And guess what? You're not going to get it the first time. And if you did get it the first time, you aimed way too low. You have an opportunity and an ability and a duty to raise up this community. It's you. I'm good, y'all. Listen, I got a job. My check is going to come. If I leave that job, I will get another one. And as much as I love doing this work with young people, as much as I love doing this talk and speaking to you, I've helped hundreds of young people graduate from high school and get into college. All of it paid for. A bunch. And you know what, though? There's been a few kids along the way that I loved, yo, that I loved with all of my heart, that I wanted it really, really bad for. And they just didn't turn it around. And it hurt my heart. It hurt my heart to bury kids. It hurt my heart to go visit kids in jail. It's hurting my heart right now that I need to, like, as soon as I leave here, figure out if I'm going to go fly to Chicago for 2 days to really go and work and spend time with my cousin. But you know what I did, though? After all of those situations, I went back to my apartment, which is pretty nice. I got in my car. I got in my bed. And then I got up, and I went back to work. Me wanting it for you ain't going to be enough. Your parents wanting it for you ain't going to be enough. The people around you in this room wanting it for you is not going to be enough. It's not. And you just don't have the luxury of that. Some people do. I'm sorry that you don't. Life ain't fair. Move on. So as these people try to pour into you today, listen. As these people try to set you up with other people to talk to and for you to build your network with, listen. As you spend time with your friends, when you get back home and you get back to school or wherever, and you see the mistakes they make, learn from those. Smart people learn from their mistakes. Wise people learn from the mistakes of other people. So with that being said, I'm going to stop yelling at y'all and all that good stuff. I didn't want to get all preachy and all that good stuff, man, but those things are just really important. I'll go through those things just one last time, and then she can pull me off the stage. But first, you will lose more than you're going to win. Number two, you need to collect mentors. That's your job right now. How many of y'all got bills to pay? None of y'all? Cool. Collect mentors. Three, always give back. You ain't get nowhere in this world by yourself. Don't trick yourself into thinking that you did. Don't be that arrogant person. Somebody helped you along the way. You need to help other people. Four, appreciate your blessings. You are truly blessed. If you're sitting in this room right now and you got all your clothes on, you got all your, everything about you is working right now, truly blessed. Appreciate it. And then five, never stop learning. You just don't have it. Everything that you need to know or want to know, you got at your fingertips. And like I said, text your friends, go on to Instagram, go do all that stuff, whatever. But you ain't got no excuse to not know nothing. And I know I just used two double negatives, but I wanted to make a point. No excuse to know nothing. All right? So with that being said, thank y'all for listening to me. I'm going to shut up and leave now.
If I can teach something, so be it. I hope somebody learns something from it. Give it back. They can't break me or shake me. They too fake to come kill me. Think they faith is with Satan. They mistake me, I'm filthy. Rich off the ghetto medleys. So now they wanna dead me. It's gonna be a murder. Confront me, them burners are empty. Middle passage, I made it. I'm from the land of David. The Nazarene of Bethlehem. They had me wrapped in blankets. Y'all bunch of backward gangsters. Y'all signing Alpha Davis. Snitches who smiling faces. Got you blowing trial, I hate this. Hoping my child could see through this. Trying to be a good daddy. I was there when she was born. And she'll be there when I'm buried. Kinda weird and it's scary. All my years have prepared me. What I fear is my temper. I see clear to the center. Right through a man's soul. Straight through his eyes. Straight to his heart. I'm still alive. How did I make it this far? Cause I've been high, I've been low. Searching for a way to go. Every single night I pray. And Lord, I'm on this battleground. Lost, just waiting to be found. I guess it's just the warrior's way.
This is the song.
British regime. I can't cope my